You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I am your host, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And if you're a hard-charging dental professional, you know that this year has been hard on you. It's also been hard on your patients. And you probably got a little sidetracked and maybe didn't embrace some of the healthiest habits. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I got to carve a new path for myself and maybe improve my gut health, my overall health. And how do I do that? Get everybody else involved. Well, today you're in for a treat, because if you haven't heard Dr. Uche Odiatu, you've probably been living under a rock. This guy is awesome and probably one of the most popular people in all of dentistry. He's just a fun guy to learn from. And that is going to be a fun part of today. Now, a couple things. I always like to welcome people. If you're here for the first time, because over 38,000 of you opted into the conference 1 year ago today. It was crazy because Uche, I was telling you, 1 year ago today, we launched the COVID-19 Dental Relief Conference, and it was 9 hours a day. And Christian Coachman kicked it off, and Uche, you were quick to jump on it and help us out. And it was amazing just to reach out and help an industry that we love so much. And a lot of you jumped on. Some of you are dental students, new to the dental profession. And we're just so happy to have you here if you're showing up the podcast for the first time. So if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, I don't know, whatever you're listening to, do me a favor. Go down to the subscribe button, hit the subscribe button, because you're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new expert in dentistry. And we're going to share with you some of the best information out there so you can create a better practice and a better life. And I don't want you to miss out. So hit the subscribe button. Also, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, make sure you join us over there, where over 13,000 of you have joined. And it's just a great community of people helping people on all things dentistry. So it's the Best Practices Facebook, powered by ACT Dental, and it's super fun. And then lastly, if you haven't joined us over at actdental.com, make sure you do that. So during the conference, we created something called ACT Dental U, where we bring a brand new professional every single Friday for a masterclass, 90 minutes, and the best stuff out there, things that you can apply in your practice right away, and then you get 30 minutes Q&A. Tomorrow, we've got Dr. Darren Becker talking about digital impressions, and it is fantastic. You don't want to miss that. Also, if you're just looking at, like, how do I improve my practice? I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to coach me on a better practice, better life. That's what we do. So do me a favor. Reach out. We're here to help you, because you get one shot at this thing called life. Make it happen, and make sure your practice is the way you want it. So join us over there. Now, I want to introduce my guest, Uche Odiatu. So Uche, I'm almost getting tired of telling the folklore around who you are. But I'll just say this, like in every CE, you know, forum, there's always got to be an Uche, somebody that brings everybody together. Somebody who entertains us, educates us. I think you're the single best educator, entertainer in all of dentistry. You make incredibly, you make stuff that's potentially boring, you know, interesting, powerful, relevant. I still have apples all over my house because of you. I say this all the time, but every time I listen to you, every time I talk to you, my life gets a little bit better. I sleep a little bit better. I think a little bit better. I'm eating a little bit better. I exercise a little bit better. And you're also breaking the paradigms that a lot of us have created for ourselves. But if somebody doesn't know Uche Odiatu, I always like to start there. Who's the Uche? What do you do, man?
Hey, thanks for the intro. I appreciate it. I guess I'm many things. I am a dentist, obviously the dentally focused arena. So I'm a dentist now for almost 30 years. I've been certified as a trainer probably for 17 years. I've been an athlete for 40 years. I am certified as a yoga instructor. I'm certified as a boot camp instructor. I'm a professional member of the American College of Sports Medicine. I'm a dad of four. I am passionate about health. I got a lot of my inspiration to take action on health and nutrition by my mom, reading guideposts and Reader's Digest and watching Jack LaLanne. He was a pioneer in the fitness industry. My dad was huge on sound mind and a sound body. That being said, I was like launched at about age 8 with a tablespoon of cod liver oil. And I'd say the rest has been history. I'm reading voraciously, co-written a couple of books, writing a book right now that has a deadline for 3 weeks. So it's going to be out this fall. Can't say who it's with, but it's going to be a powerful, powerful tool for people to tap into the inherent wisdom of the human body. So they can really be the healthcare provider that their patients need them to be and their families need them to be. So that being said, here I am. Here I am at this point in my life, sharing and caring.
Yeah, and you do a great job of that. And today, I want you to describe the title, because as we were having fun, I always love to joke around with you and have a little fun. And we came up with the title today. And I'm like, that's really what we're going to be talking about. And you're a big fan of gut health and how all that works. And today we're going to make it a little bit extra real and relevant for everybody in a dental practice, dental professionals, hygienists, all that. So let's start with the why before the how. What is this all about today that we're going to be talking about?
Well, people often have heard about gut health, but they don't really sure how to apply it. But you can tell they're not applying it because they show up sometimes tired. They're often not sure why they have brain fog. They're not at the weight they want. If you're literally not at the weight you want, you don't understand gut health. Because when you understand gut health at a deep level, weight becomes effortless. You will weigh the ideal weight. If you have an immune system issue, if you have an autoimmune disease, you know, if you have eczema, psoriasis, rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, fibromyalgia, MS, 100 different autoimmune diseases, well, 50 million Americans suffer. And the gastroenterologists that I've read and studied, they're saying at the root of autoimmune disease, you'll find gut membrane permeability. So if you are suffering, one of the 50 million Americans suffering, so from energy level to immune system issues to not ideal weight to poor sleep to brain fog to accelerated aging, if you actually look like your driver's license picture, you need to know more about gut health. Because when you understand it, health becomes effortless. Right. At least you can use it as a tool to upgrade that.
Right. And you don't need to break any HIPAA laws today, but you know, you were telling me about a conversation you recently had with a patient, and you actually got confused by how old they were and they didn't have a physician. I want you to share that story because it's powerful as far as the impact and the overall health of people we see every single day in a dental office.
Well, as I said, every patient exam starts with a medical history. So I go with a lot of my intuition, and I'll bring that word back again because it's your gut intuition. They're actually talking about the gut being a brain. It has 3 million neurons, about the same size as a cat's brain. The microbiome weighs about 3 pounds. And there's more messages going from your gut to your brain than your brain to your gut. Anyway, so I walked into the operatory and I saw this patient. I'm thinking, oh, that must be the dad. And then I realized, ooh, it's the son. And then I said, hey, I said, Paul, so what's up? I said, I asked him, I said, when's the last time you saw your doctor? And he didn't even look at me. He wasn't even phased. Single guy, never been married. And usually, you know, married men live longer. They've at least been told to go to the doctor. And he goes, I don't think I have one. And I said, when's the last time you went? He said, 5 years ago, which means, you know, as we know, you double it. So it's 10 years ago. And I said, you know, you have gum issues and you're in every 3-4 months and you're kind of treading water. Nothing is really getting better, but I'm glad you're coming in. But, you know, they say inflammation anywhere is happening everywhere. And he goes, I can't find a doctor. They're all taken. But the hygienist said, hey, my doctor is accepting new patients. As you know, can you connect him with yours and just see if you can help them? I just get a sense that it's time for him to get some blood work done, get blood pressure taken, and get a physical. And that intuitive sense, because you start with medical history. I don't start with shade. I don't start with prepping. I don't start with prep design. I'm medical history. I went in and said, something didn't feel right to me. And then I hadn't seen a doctor in a decade. You know, if you're 45 years old, it's been a decade since you've seen a doctor. That is the most number one priority you can have in a hygiene, a new patient exam, recare exam, is to say, you know what, you need to see a doctor and be firm about it. And I could, because I'm saying, that was my most, one of my most authentic voices. And the hygienist said later, she took the name of the doctor and she got the address number online, and away he went to book an appointment. So total health is where to go. Patients are starving for healthcare providers that look at all of them and not just your little area, your little silo. That little silo is great, but you start with total health, medical history, anything new. How are you sleeping? Are you tired? Do you exercise? You know, how are you eating lately? And then that's how all my appointments start. You know, start with the bigger picture, then you go into the smaller picture.
Yeah, and there's so many facets to this because it's go time for dentists. I mean, I think dentists are better positioned right now to change the world than almost any professional out there. And you mentioned a book that's near and dear to all of our hearts, Beat the Heart Attack, Gene. I mean, is that fluff? Is that, now I'm leading you with the question. It's one of the best books ever written for dentistry because we used to be able to say, we're going to get into gut health, but we used to be able to say, it could be, it might be, it probably is. Now we have the research to know that what goes on here affects so many other components of our body. Is that correct?
Well, I love, you know, Dr. Baldinian's work. It's incredible. Actually, I'm listening to the book now. I'm on chapter 8, but a lot of stuff is things I know. But again, it's every author comes at a subject with a little different twist or through their sieve. But I love what him and Donine were talking about. But it comes down to inflammation. And again, I'm looking at it from a lifestyle point of view. They kept talking about, you know, standard of care has kind of disappointed a lot of people and failed people. Because people often will get a stress test and then they have a heart attack a week later. Or they get the A-OK from a physical and then 6 months later they die of a massive heart attack. He was saying that 800,000 strokes every year, 140,000 people die of strokes, one of the top two killers. So that being said, I kept listening to the inflammation link because he kept saying there's genes they're missing, the TP1 gene and things like that. So the thing is, like I believe, they don't realize the gut microbiome is an amazing modulator of gene expression. The whole idea is, you know, your genes load your gun, your lifestyle pulls the trigger. Your genes load your gun, lifestyle pulls the trigger. So when you think about it, genes are basically just a blueprint. You have a blueprint for a car. If you don't read the blueprint or the map, guess what? You won't go on that journey. You could have the blueprint to go to California, but if you don't jump in your car, you're not going there. You could have the blueprint for lung cancer, but if you don't smoke or be around secondhand smoke, you won't get lung cancer. You can have the blueprint for heart disease. If you exercise, love your job, sleep well, and have good stress management practices, you're not going to get heart disease, even though you have the gene for heart disease. So it comes down to, are you going to read the gene? Well, a new way to manipulate genes is to have the healthiest microbiome possible. In order to do that, you've got to look at a number of different things, which you and I are going to talk about today. But the microbiome, very esoteric subject, but people don't realize you tweak it a bit, you could end up completely different. And how long? 24 hours. What you eat today, you can tweak your microbiome. You can actually, in 3 days of junk food eating, you can actually lose 40% of your resident gut bacteria, which decimates you. And sure, you can get them back by having some good healthy days. But some people lose species and they lose them forever. And once you lost a species forever, you're working now with one hand behind your back at age 32 or age 52 or whatever that may be.
Right. Now let's go back with some simple definitions because I have family members that watch you. They're like, oh, my favorite. I don't even know what they're talking about. My favorite person is always Uchi. And so let's define some of these things. So we're all on the same page and how we make microbiome. What are you talking about? What is it? And how does it work?
Okay. It's very often not something people know too much about. Everyone always thinks it's about bacteria. You ask the average Joe, the average American, bacteria is bad. However, you know, we have 100 trillion single-celled organisms in our body, in your body, and they outnumber the human cells of human origin, 10 to 1. So 98% of them are in the GI tract. You know, about 2% of them are on your skin, under armpits, hair, nose, etc. but they are a powerful manipulator of your genes. They also train your immune system, because 80% of your immune system lies in the 26 feet of your digestive tract. So people with poor digestive health often have immune system problems. Metabolism is a key player of insulin resistance, is the gut microbiome. So if you have gut issues, digestive issues, from constipation to reflux to Crohn's, colitis, if you have a disrupted gut microbiome, it's a precursor to prediabetes and diabetes. So that being said, the microbiome is the collective, invisible, single-celled organisms that call you home, and they have a symbiotic relationship. You feed them, they feed you neurotransmitters. You rest them, they give you health. You exercise regularly, they become more diverse and slow down aging. You do intermittent fasting, all of a sudden, they're better able to make your metabolism work better. If you go on yo-yo diets, they get angry. And as soon as they get disrupted, they mess with UCP-1 gene, which helps you stay lean. That's why people go on yo-yo diets take longer and longer, and it's tougher to go on diets until you're 40, wrapping saran wrap around yourself at night in front of a refrigerator, in front of a stove, trying to get lean. So the whole idea being is the gut microbiome. I was going to add.
I've seen somebody on Instagram doing that. Like, it's no joke.
Put some A535 in wrap saran wrap, but that's not such a good idea. But you have to do more bizarre things as you get older. The first time anyone goes on a diet, oh my God, Atkins is amazing. First time someone goes on paleo, oh my God, it was amazing. The 15th time you're trying the cotton ball diet or the air diet where you pretend you're chewing air, you know. So it gets more bizarre as you get, but it's all yo-yo dieting. The more you try these bizarre reductionistic diets, the harder it is to lose weight, and you're gonna do more bizarre things, and anything that's bizarre is not sustainable. And that's why all my 90 to 100 year old patients eat porridge in the morning. They walk every day. They're pooping. You know, we talk about shit happens. Basically, they've actually done, as one Nobel Prize winning scientist, that basically he kept some chicken cells alive in a petri dish by feeding them, but at the same time taking away waste. Right. Anytime you feed something, but you make waste inefficiently, now you have a dying system. So we talk about poop because basically when you eat, you create tools and building blocks to reinvent yourself and recover and repair. However, there's lots of waste. Just like when you're an athlete and you're breathing out CO2, there's lots of waste. But if you're poor at getting rid of waste, it's like forgetting to take the garbage out 3 or 4 weeks in a row, months in a row. How does your garage smell? So people who are very poor at getting rid of waste often have very toxic insides, which slows things down. Brain fog, slow metabolism, poor neurotransmitters, poor sleep, hormonal imbalance.
Right. Now, I have so many questions, and I want to go back to, you were one that helped me understand that the body repairs itself when you're not eating, you know? And so I want you to explain that. And then I want you to tell us what you said disrupted microbiome. Like, how do you, what creates that? So we don't have that.
This is a great takeaway because we first heard, and science verified, that the number one way to extend life, the only thing that's been verified, is reducing calories. In 1935, they did rodent studies, mice studies. They had one whole section of rodents they fed every day, like they do always. The other section, they fed them every second day. One day no food, one day food. One day no food, one day food. The rodents that were fed every second day, so starved one day, fed the next day, starved one day, fed the next day, lived 6 months longer. The average mouse living in about 2 years. So they first realized, wow, you usually think you got to feed people to live, but now they realize when you feed something the same thing every day, the body gets lazy. Metabolism doesn't get as organized. They've done other studies. Actually, I'll tell you about a Spanish nursing home study. So 1956, there was a Spanish nursing home study. They had 120 residents. 60, they fed 1,600 calories every day for 3 years. So 60 of the 120, they fed 1,600 calories every day for 3 years. The other half, they did 900 one day, 2,400 the next day. And they went back and forth, back and forth. Well, after 3 years, the group that had the variable feeding, so starving one day, overfed one next day, starved one day, overfed the next day. And not starving, it just means you didn't eat as much as you normally do. Well, they had half the death rate. 12 people died in the daily feeding, the same number, and 6 died in the variable rate. And the people who had the variable rate, intermittent fasting, had 30% less pneumonia, which is one of the highest people that makes most seniors undergo their demise after 75. And this is all related to the microbiome. You realize when you force feed yourself, when you're overeating, sumo wrestlers don't live that long. When you think of all these athletes that are 250, 300, 350 pounds, they don't live that long. If you're eating 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 calories a day, there's a lot of waste. It's hard to have a lot of waste. Michael Phelps says he poops 3 times a day. So that's an Olympic pooper. And he has 23 gold medals. So 23 medals. So the whole idea being, if you're very good at getting rid of waste, if you're eating 10,000 calories, you better be going to the bathroom a couple times a day, because there's a lot of waste created when you're an athlete, just like high performance race cars, lots of exhaust. So the idea being, if you don't eat as much, you're creating less exhaust and your body can start working more efficiently. So what they've done is intermittent fasting, time-restricted eating, caloric restriction, all the ways to extend life. And it comes down to the microbiome. They don't want to eat all the time. They don't want to be stuffed full of food. There's lots of free radicals and oxidative stress.
Right. You know, and I feel that, I mean, even when you eat pizza, I love pizza. You have enough pizza, you're like, oh, it tasted good when I was eating it. And now I feel lousy for like a whole day or whatever. I totally get that. And then go a little bit further, like, what really disrupts the microbiome in either a violent way or even mildly way? Like, what happens?
There's a number of different ways. We're not sure which one most, because under a lot of microbiome disruption is anxiety and stress. So think of the last year, anxiety and stress. On an average, has everyone gained weight or lost weight? Gained weight. Anytime the microbiome is disrupted, people often gain weight. That's the last 12 months globally. So I haven't done I've only done like from hearsay. But at that point, though, most people have gained weight. Most people are just in shape. So when the microbiome is disrupted, people often metabolisms are off, sleep is off. But in terms of disruption, one way the microbiome gets disrupted is by starving it of fiber. Immunologists, Jeff Sonnenberg, Rob Knight, out in California, Emron Mayer, gastroenterologist, Robin Chutkin, GI doctor, wrote a book called The Microbiome Solution, all say that the fundamental desire, the primordial primitive relationship all our bacteria want is they want to ferment fiber. They want to ferment insoluble and soluble fiber. And when they're able to ferment fiber, which is the only food they really want, not that they don't like essential fats, but fiber is their first love, right? Think about your first love, okay, Kurt? So their first love is fiber. Now they can make short-chain fatty acids. Short-chain fatty acids are one of the most potent anti-inflammatory things the body makes. So that being said, only half the adults in North America are eating the right amount of fiber. It's about 10 or 12 grams that they're eating. They need to eat 25 for women, 35 for men. So most people are inflamed. And almost all modern degenerative diseases are inflammatory based. From cancer, stroke, heart disease, as Bill Dineen said in the heart attack gene. Dementia is basically a lifetime of chronic inflammation, says David Perlmutter, author of Grain Brain and Wheat Belly. So one thing you do to mess with your microbiome is not eat enough fiber. And that's basically 97% of people, because 97% of people don't eat enough fiber because it's not sexy. It's also cheap as heck. But it's boring to eat kale and couscous and wild rice. Oh, wild rice takes so long to make. I prefer my white rice. And you need long grain, brown rice, basmati rice. Potatoes, people think potatoes are fattening. The skin is incredible. Your microbiome loves them. But if you're starving your microbiome, be prepared to accelerate aging. Be prepared to weigh more than you want to be. Be prepared to have a weaker immune system. And be prepared to have chronic inflammation percolating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the rest of your life. So really, by mastering your microbiome, you can totally get a handle on your health. And you can start, the cool thing about this, Kurt, is that you can weave the conversation into patients, because the dental disease process is all about inflammation. Periodontal disease, gingivitis, periodontitis, any disease that ends in itis is inflammatory based. Right. So if you're not talking about the microbiome chairside, you got to understand it, because there's people who are, and patients are reading about it at night. And if you poo-poo probiotics, or if you poo-poo fiber, if you don't talk about saliva and the enzymes in saliva and about GI issues, guess what? They're going to be asking, where's the dentist that understands this? Because you got to understand it, because you will be ahead of the curve, because this is not going to get out to mainstream conversation for another decade is my prediction.
Right. And sometimes it's just taking me. Now, again, if you haven't seen the previous podcast that we've done on other subjects, Ooch, you got me eating apples. And then I always remember this, like the skin was the most important. And so like, not taking the skin off of it. And then also kombucha, which I didn't really like when I started it. But now I have a regular diet of this, like an apple a day. And here's the question I have for you. We've all heard this, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. What if that was actually true in some respects, you know?
It probably is true. And some of the times I said, like, I thought that was glib before, you know, I thought that was an overreach, apple a day keeps the doctor away. But physicians know their stuff. You know, there's amazing doctors. So an apple a day, but it's probably two apples a day because every apple has 4 grams of fiber. You double up on your apple content. Apples are cheap. A pound for $2. What's that? Four apples, 50 cents each. So two apples a day, 8 grams. If someone literally just added two apples a day, you'd almost double your fiber. You slow down aging, make your metabolism work better, go to the bathroom more often, mental clarity, become more insulin sensitive. If you want to know how to accelerate aging, become insulin resistant, because they've shown that diabetics who are poorly controlled live up to 10 years shorter lives. And this is not my research. This is Andrew Weil, integrative medical doctor out of Arizona. So by eating fiber, you become more insulin sensitive, which means slowing down aging. Who doesn't want to look better? And if I can't hook patients on lowering their inflammatory burden, you know, I tell a real estate agent, oh, come in every 3 months and we will lower your inflammatory burden. I'm not sure, doc. I can slow down aging. Where do I sign up for that one? So you got to appeal to sometimes aesthetics. But you talk about slowing down aging, now you got a patient's attention. You talk about the inflammatory burden, if we barely understand it, how does a real estate agent understand it, or a bank manager, or a teacher, right? So you got to explain it. We can slow down aging. The minute you manage your blood, this is, okay, all things held aside. So they've actually scientifically proven already that the minute you come in to get more hygiene, more frequency, the minute you start taking better care of your mouth and you lessen the pocket depths, you get less bleeding, the science has shown you actually improve a human being's ability to manage blood sugar, which means you become a better fat burner. Anytime you become better at managing blood sugar, you become better at burning fat, which means get leaner. Anytime you become better at burning fat, and anytime you become better at managing blood sugar, you slow down aging, because the hallmark of accelerated aging is being insulin resistant. Insulin resistance is a hallmark of accelerated aging. Vascular disease, dementia, wrinkling because of collagen being disrupted in the skin. So I hope I'm getting your viewers excited, because you're thinking, ooch, this sounds too good to be true. Why is it not on billboards? I don't know, because avocados are cheap. Apples are cheap. There's no lobby group outside the White House saying, we want more fiber. We want more fiber. People want jobs. No, you need apples and avocados.
Well, let me just speak for myself. Like, when you go to the grocery store, talk about sexy, like Pringles has got new little cans now. Like, you know, nobody's making brown long rice sexy or apples sexy, you know, and so you really do need to be educated when you go to the store and staying on the outside, all that kind of stuff. And actually, did you hear this? My daughter, they learned this in school, that there will be a day where there won't be any more bananas, only because our consumption is outpacing our ability to grow them. Now, that's frightening to me. And I can only imagine what the future holds for the amount of choices that we'll have that will be good foods. But I think you're right. Like, I don't often go to friends' houses on a Friday night and they've got celery sticks, you know, it just is what it is. I think you got to be a little diligent or, you know, disciplined during the week, but this is a challenge that dental professionals are going to face more and more and more. And I don't think there's a dental professional watching today that'd say, I don't know, my perio's kind of going away. I don't know. These patients are kind of getting healthier every time I see them, right?
It's going downhill. We know more, but we're doing less. You know, we've never sat this much. We've never ate this much junk. 1 in 3 people eats junk food every day. 1 in 3 North Americans eats junk food every day. 97% of people don't eat enough fiber. 95% of people don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. 70% of adults don't eat fruit. 70% of adults don't eat fruit every day. But that being said, periodontists will have all the work they want, because periodontists, their work is about taking care of the inflammatory burden. So hygienists, you'll have work forever, because people are living longer. They love their comfort foods, which means they're inflamed. Because every time you get anxious or irritated, upset, angry, annoyed, depressed, anxious, what happens is digestion slows. And now the body has more time to absorb the calories. So two people, one person's happy, other person's angsty. One person's happy, other person's irritated, watching news they don't like. Well, guess what? They can eat the same volume, the same kind of food, but they're irritated, upset, depressed, anxious, frustrated, resenting, jealous person. Digestion slows. When digestion slows, the body has more chance to absorb the calories, which means you gain weight. So you can actually lose weight just by being happier. You can lose weight just by having more peace of mind. You can lose weight, like Eckhart Tolle says, being in the now. Look at, you know, the power of now, the new earth. You can lose weight by watching some of these master classes, just getting a handle on life. By decluttering, watching your show, you know, the best practices show. You know, you can lose weight by being happier, by being more fulfilled. You can actually lose weight. Isn't that interesting?
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Let's take this into the operatory, because I'm like, let's say I'm a hygienist. I'm totally picking up what you're putting down, Ooch. How do I start these conversations with patients when I know, like, what's happening here is going elsewhere, and I want to help my patients?
Okay. I love hygienists. They're dear to my heart. They know wellness. You know, dentists, we get misty-eyed. We start getting choked up thinking about prepping crowns, you know? You talk about wellness, dentists go, where's the crowns? You know, but you talk wellness, hygienists go, wellness, you know, where's my prophy jet? You know, wellness, you know, where's my scaler? They get excited. So hygienists understand the wellness model. They understand wellness. They're all about prevention. They prevent. Obviously, they do treatment also, but prevention is the big thing. Prevention is cheap. You know, Benjamin Franklin, a stitch in time saves nine, you know, so I realized, let me just give an example. United, Concordia, and Delta now is the two insurance companies I know, because they cover medical and dental issues for the same patient. They've actually did a study, a 3-year study. Out of their 1.2 million patients, they had 90,000 diabetics. The 90,000 diabetics had more access to dental hygiene frequency and more access to specialist referral for pocket elimination. Well, after 3 years, doctor visits went down 30% for the diabetics and hospitalizations went down 13%. What does that mean when you think of an average hospital stay in America, $6,500 a day? So for 3 years, more access to dental means what? Maybe $800, $1,000. So what happened was, for $1,000, they can save $6,000. Insurance companies went, no brainer. So now diabetics, pre-diabetics, for those two insurance companies, actually they allow them more access to dental. But it's prevention. Obviously periodontists, you know, need to be there too, but prevention, right? So the whole idea being, if hygienists know the prevention model, what they need to know is your work counts. And I know hygienists hate when they said, I'm getting my teeth cleaned, or am I going to get my polish today? But we talk about reducing the inflammatory burden. But then you got to start thinking, like, why do I need to save my teeth? You know, the first thing people say when they're about to lose a second molar or a first molar, you know what, doc, I don't really see it. I'm just going to grow a big mustache. I'm just going to grow my beard long. Do I really need that tooth? Hygienists got to say, the more teeth you have, the longer you live. You know, Charles Mayo, founder of the Mayo Clinic, said the more teeth you have, the more chance you're going to make it to 100. So you need every tooth, because if you have two people, one with 20 teeth, the other with 28 teeth. So the person with 28 teeth is going to chew food more efficiently. They're going to break food down more, which means they're going to chew food into liquid. And now the body can break it down where the universe becomes the body. So hygienists know you can't just lose a tooth. You can't just have loose ones. You can't have teeth that aren't in function, that are tilted and drifted. And if hygienists start that conversation, when people who chew better live longer. People who chew better are able to break down the food and you become healthier. You can repair that meniscus. You can help. The food you eat becomes your skin, your brain. When you say it with that much passion and authenticity, people go, doc, or hygienist, you know, if I need to come every 4 months or 3 months, count me in. I want to keep my brain. I want to slow down aging. So these hooks, right? I'm thinking you're using a hook, and it's real. It's real languaging.
Right. And you don't have to be a brainiac to figure out, you know, that's the after, but the before, I mean, when somebody has 28 teeth, and one has 20, let's take a look at elsewhere. You know, there were some disciplines that made you keep the 28 teeth that would benefit you long-term. And if the person that only had 20 teeth, I mean, my guess is that would be the tip of the iceberg. But all of this compounds into, you know, ultimate health. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, we have the opportunity to make a huge impact in people's lives for a better quality of life. So where else do we need to be considering when it comes to gut health and the digestive tract and how we communicate with patients?
Okay, 2,300 years ago, you know, Hippocrates said, 2,300 years ago, he said, all disease begins in the gut. All disease begins in the gut. He didn't have a microscope, didn't know about bacteria, but he said, all disease begins in the gut. So where does the gut do for us? 80% of the cellular constituents of the immune system is in the GI tract. But where does food start getting broken down? In the mouth. Which healthcare profession takes care of the oral cavity? There's no other. Dentists, hygienists, assistants, obviously the whole team and consultants, you included, Kurt. But the mouth is the gateway. And people, the mouth is the gateway. What does that mean to a patient? What does that mean to a real estate agent? What does that mean to a stockbroker? Well, when you're better able to chew, what happens is you can impact your gut flora. When your gut flora are better able to be stable and more diverse, you get better and quality of neurotransmitters. Your metabolism improves, so you get to your ideal weight quick. You have more mental clarity. You can be who you are better. You'd be more intuitive. You know, there's a whole concept of called your gut instinct. The reason why they call it the gut instinct, because the vagus nerve gets information from the GI tract and it pumps it back to the brain, telling the brain what's going on. Your brain's always eavesdropping. How's the bacteria? How is it going down there? Well, if they're disrupted, guess what? Foggy thoughts. So what's the use of a stockbroker with foggy thoughts? What's the use of a mom with foggy thoughts? What's the use of a dentist with foggy thoughts? What's the use of a student with foggy thoughts? If you want to increase your mental clarity, get gut health, get your bacteria in order, and now they're capable of making you up to 30 different neurotransmitters. Most of the melatonin in your body, up to 90% of it is made, and the serotonin is made in the GI tract, in the interchromaffin cells. So serotonin, we know, is the peacekeeper. When you have good serotonin, you have good emotional well-being. You're a nice person to hang out with. If your serotonin's off balance, guess what? Now you're depressed. Depression is one of the biggest reasons for long-term disability. So if most of the serotonin is made in the gut, that means you need to have good gut health to have peace of mind, to become more likable, to be less knee-jerk, to be less annoying, for crying out loud. So there's many ways to get there. But the best way to make your gut happy is to change the way you eat. Change in the way you eat. Eat healthier food. How do you eat? You need a tongue that works, good saliva flow. You need a TMJ that's functioning. And you need 28 teeth. If you keep the wisdom teeth, all 32 teeth. But change in the way you eat, because Hippocrates said all disease begins in the gut, but this is the gateway to the gut. So we have an intimate ability to impact patients' lives. And when you got to understand it, though, because you got to get back to your college weight. I'm encouraging you. Get lean. I'm not saying for the aesthetics, just because it comes across a lot more authentic when you're living the part. If you smell like a cheeseburger and fries, guess what? It's hard to talk about whole body health. If your fingertips are yellow from smoking instead of yellow from turmeric grating, guess what? Turmeric is a powerful anti-inflammatory. But if your fingertips are yellow from smoking, not good. Yellow from turmeric, then you become an authentic purveyor of this whole new age thought. And patients just think you're on the cutting edge. Like, they'll say, oh, I love my doctor. You know what? In the middle of a new patient exam, they'll say, you know what? My husband needs to see you. Do you see kids? My kid's an athlete. He's got dry mouth, or he's always doing sports drinks. I'm going to get him to see you. You seem to understand this better than my last guy, because all he or she wanted to do was do crowns. You seem to have an understanding of whole body health. And now patients are starving for people who look at the whole body. I'm not just talking about amalgams to inlays. I'm talking right. about whole body health, looking at someone with integrity from head to toe.
Yeah. And we also, there's so many challenges with xerostomia. Go back to that. We talk about dry mouth. Dry mouth is a very big deal nowadays in the world of dentistry, and it's being impacted by so many things, and it has a direct relationship with the digestive tract.
Well, dry mouth, people talk about 2/3 of all over-the-counter drugs and prescription medications called dry mouth. Okay, that being said, we make it about stuff we know. However, if you're anxious or not feeling well, guess what? You also have dry mouth. Anxiety is massive. Think of the global angst of this pandemic, all the unstructured time, all the unknowns, like restaurant owners, actors, athletes, kids being taught at home. There's tons of anxiety. Anxiety brings dry mouth. You don't get more saliva. When you're scared and upset, or if you don't like public speaking and you get in front of a crowd, that cotton mouth is dry mouth. But if you have that often enough, I'm thinking accelerated aging. If I see dry mouth, I'm thinking accelerated aging. Because kids, lots of moisture. It's like Niagara Falls, 75, 80, 85. I see a tumbleweed sometimes come out, and I'm thinking accelerated aging. Yeah, I'm kind of anxious now. A lady yesterday, super lady, we're doing this ahead of time, but it was St. Patrick's Day. She's wearing these green beads. And I said, can I get you a green bead so I can get a selfie? She goes, I'm celebrating, but this year without my husband. She goes, why? Because my husband of 64 years passed away in the last few months. And I said, well, you seem so, she goes, you know what? He was 92, but it was still too soon. And she started getting teary-eyed, but she had an optimistic, neat little vibe to her. But again, when a significant other passes away, especially after 40, 50, 60 years, grief, many people don't realize when you have two people in long-term marriages, when one person passes away, often within 2 years, the other one does. And they say grief killed them. Well, I'm thinking more of the biome, because when you're grieving, guess what? You breathe shallow. You don't move as much. You eat comfort foods. The biome hates comfort fast foods. You also, digestion slows. When you're grieving and stressed out, it shrinks the hippocampus. When you're breathing and stressed out, the mucus lining in your gut thins. So pathogenic bacteria have a way of getting into general circulation and causing immune system issues. So when they say grief kills someone or make grief, they pass away from grief, I'm thinking biome. So if someone is grieving, breathe deep. If someone is grieving, some walking. If someone is grieving, maybe a probiotic. If someone is grieving, an eye mask to go to bed to sleep deep. So if someone is grieving, eat fiber. So there's things to do to hack your microbiome. And once you understand it, it becomes effortless. Skin is smooth, joints don't hurt, mental clarity. And it seems like you've cracked this youth code, and it's all about the biome. It's all about the biome.
Yeah, you always give us so much that my head explodes. Now let's. So I want to do. I want to do this because I believe in what you're saying so much, and I've also felt the impacts firsthand. We're talking about helping dental professionals. You know, first helping them, and then having them help their ability to help their patients. But let's go back and give us a simple treatment plan. If I'm watching this right now, Ooch, give me something to do over the next couple of weeks before we put another layer of learning on this.
Well, it's really hard to share something if you're not doing it, you know? So what I would say, you got to get healthy yourself. It's really hard to take someone on a journey that you haven't been on. So I think a big part of this is getting to bed on time. You know, the bacteria are very sensitive to the light dark cycle. And again, bacteria don't have eyes, but they're very sensitive to the light dark cycle. It's a super chiasmatic nucleus, 20,000 neurons in the center of the brain that guide that circadian rhythm. But if you're up late at night or up all night as a shift workers live up to 10 years shorter lives than people who sleep at night and are awake during the day. So being a shift worker messes with the microbiome. They put students, they did a microbial assay and they got on a 10-hour flight. After the 10-hour flight, they had the microbiome of an obese person just after a 10-hour flight going through 5 time zones. So I would say you need to get to bed on time. I say start going to get 7 to 9 hours sleep. I would say have a salad a day. I had one hygienist who asked me to coach them through some weight loss. And I said, you know what, maybe not officially because I don't have time to do one-on-one coaching. But I said, add a salad a day. Anyway, they came running up to me at a Chicago midwinter meeting a couple of years ago and said, I've lost 15 pounds in the last 2 weeks. And that was from eating a salad a day. So you increase your fiber intake, it makes you more insulin sensitive. But it's because you're making your microbiome happy. Your microbiome loves fiber. So I would say double up on your fiber. So an avocado, a couple of apples. Potatoes. Potatoes aren't fattening. I have sweet potatoes, baked potatoes. Anyone who says they're low carb, guess what? They're also low fiber. And guess what? Constipated. So you need to have vegetables. Vegetables and fruit are fiber rich. So if you do low carb, what are you eating? Like bacon and steak? Guess what? That's a short-lived diet. And Atkins was meant to be short-lived diets. It was meant to get people ready for surgery. Lose 20, 30 pounds to get ready for surgery. So a diet has to be sustainable, doable, easy for it to come maintainable. So what I'd say in the short answer, get to bed on time, 7 to 9 hours, a salad a day, an avocado, ooh, I don't like the taste. Well, you're gonna like the taste of health and living a long time looking amazing. So taste that, forget how an avocado tastes. You think Michael Phelps says, you know what? I'm afraid of water, get in the pool, win some medals. So I don't care if it, oh, it's this squishiness between my teeth. Athletes just go, is that good? I eat it. You know, LeBron James doesn't say, I'm not sure if I like practicing my free throws. So I don't care if you don't like the taste of avocado. Avocados have 10 grams of fiber. Your 100 trillion cells that call you home will thank you. When they thank you, they'll take 10 years off your life in terms of how you look on your face. Skin smooths out. Joint pain goes away because they can pump out anti-inflammatories. And as I said before, Kurt, you really can't take a patient on a journey that you yourself haven't been on. So if you're talking health but not looking the part, patients see right through you. And guess what? I'm staying at 9 months recare. But you come across passionate and interested and engaged. Guess what? Doctor, I'm a shift worker. I love my junk food. I'm inflamed. I'm gonna start coming in every 3 months. That should be an easy discussion. It's almost a no-brainer. I'd have no problem telling anyone, if someone's a shift worker, or if someone is a pre-diabetic, which is 80 million Americans, so a quarter of Americans are pre-diabetic. If someone loves their junk food, or if someone's sedentary, you gotta come into the hygiene more often. Because the minute you lower your inflammatory burden, you become more insulin sensitive. So these are just words that have to be able to roll off your tongue. But when you're sincere, patients just go, Doc, I don't fully understand it, but I'm coming back in 12 weeks. Yeah. So you got to get your own health under control is what I say.
Buddy, you are so good and so motivating, Ollie. all these times. I'm just so incredibly grateful. And I know we don't get you forever here tonight, but we're going to have you back again and again and cover another thing. So there you have it, guys, like giving us some perspective on where the good shit happens. And we're kind of living out on the edge by throwing those words around. But, you know, it's a very important conversation in dentistry. And if you're listening to this and you haven't read Beat the Heart Attack, Gene, I'm going to highly encourage you to read it. Also, Ooch, when is your book coming out?
This fall. The title is still kind of playing around. A huge organization is behind this. So I'm excited about it because it's going to be my last book was like 13 years ago. So when you look at the current stuff I'm studying, the current stuff that keeps me up late and my biome not very happy about it, the stuff that keeps me eating two avocados at a time, that makes me eat Ezekiel bread and hummus, this is the stuff I'm talking about. Because if you want to look younger than your driver's license picture, good metabolism, if you want to weigh, I weigh what I did in grade 11. Without dieting, I don't count macros. I don't count macros. I love carbs because carbs are dear to me. I love fish. I love meat. People say, oh, are you a vegan? No, no. I eat hormone-free, grass-fed, antibiotic-free meat for a reason. But I'll still come over to the house if you had some regular steaks there, Kurt. But I won't eat them every day. So if I'm coming back a second night, I'm going to Whole Foods and picking up some wild salmon, okay? But I will, I'll eat a hot dog. I'll eat a corn dog, but not every day. So right. It's a very balanced way to eat. It's attractive because I can eat a hot dog anytime I want. Even though the global burden of disease, this huge, massive study with 488 researchers from 50 countries, this has been three times. They've shown that 800,000 people globally die every year related to their intake of processed meat. So 800,000. Well, you think about it, only 200,000 die from the illicit drug use. So four times the amount of people worldwide die from salami, hot dogs, and wieners, or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. So, and I'm not being glib. The global burden of disease, written up in the prestigious journal The Lancet, shows fruit. This is one really bizarre fact. They said 9.5 million people every year die, and they wouldn't die if their blood pressure was lower. Okay, if their blood pressure was 115 over 75, actually. So the global burden of disease also showed that 4.8 million deaths every year could be prevented if people ate more fruit. Eating more fruit could save 4.7 million people's lives, double that have actually died from COVID in the last 12 months. So fruit can heal. You know, fruit can heal. So, and I don't know how many people go on a diet and say, I'm cutting out bananas, I'm cutting out grapes. I'm like, okay, then, it's not a good idea. I eat as much fruit as I want, but I do limit my high fructose corn syrup. I do reduce all my processed food intake, even though I do eat treats. But fruit itself, with the skin on, the global burden of disease, written up in The Lancet, 4.7 million deaths worldwide would be prevented if people simply ate more fruit. That's so easy. But what's easy to do is easy not to do.
Yes.
And you go back to Hippocrates, right? All disease begins in the gut. Let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. I that's just part of who I am. I remember I talked in Arizona at the Western Regional Meeting, dental conference, and some guy came up to me and said, he goes, you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer. But he goes, I've been 2 years cancer-free. And he goes, I like that. Let medicine be your food and food be your medicine. He goes, I'm a 63-year-old dentist. I've never heard that before. And I'm thinking, hasn't everybody? So sometimes I think what I know, everyone knows. But what gets me invited on these shows and conferences is because what comes so natural or fun for me, people don't know. And he said, Ooch, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. For the last 63 years, I eat for pleasure. He goes, well, I'm going to think it now. I'm going to choose food more mindfully. Thank you, he said. It's been the best 3 hours of CA I ever had. And I get misty-eyed when I know there's going to be a paradigm shift in how someone looks at something. Because when you make a shift in your perception of something, now you're creating a permanent shift in that person. When you think a 1 degree course in action, that day means nothing. But a month, a year, 10 years later, that 63-year-old dentist will be a 73 years young dentist and have a completely different physiology. So I love it when people make paradigm shifts in a 3-hour lecture. You know, hopefully they just remember your name. I'm thinking like, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. He goes, I like that. And he left the door. It was just wild, wild.
I love that. I believe this to my, well, I enjoy being with you. I think you're a gift to dentistry. You're a gift to me. You're a gift to a lot of people. Like you are changing people's lives. And the other thing I know firsthand, because I've been on the road with you, is you're also a person that isn't going to make life boring. I've had tequila with you. I sit next to you and eat and I mean, you're not eating boring stuff. You're eating all the good stuff, but it's a good balance of what really works. And I don't have to go to the other side and eat boring food and not enjoy my life because I do like food. And you're a living example of how you can do both mindfully. It's great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Ooch, I want people to find you. I know people are going to be listening to you. I'm just going to say this. If you guys got a study club and you haven't had Ooch speak, you're missing out. This guy can rock a room, and you don't even need to be a dental professional to enjoy him. Although I highly recommend you have everybody on your team. I would bring your teenage kids to watch this guy speak. I would bring your spouses. He's just going to add value. Ooch, if I'm listening to you or watching you, how do I get a hold of you? What do I do?
Well, there's not many Uchi dentists. If you just put Uchi, U-C-H-E, dentist, fitness, you'll find me. You'll find my website. But if you're on Instagram, I believe I like Instagram. Facebook, you can limit the amount of friends you have. It's like 5,000 if you don't have a business page. So Instagram, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has 205 million followers. Kylie Jenner, 210 million followers. I think Donald Trump had 35 million followers. So I think Instagram is where to go. I like the immediate nature of Instagram. I like the short posts. I like the video. I think I posted 4,500 times on Instagram in the last 8 years. So I answer direct messages. But my Instagram, hashtag or my account is @FitSpeakers. So FitSpeakers. Become a friend, hang out, we'll chat, direct message. But just, I do video, I share, I show the latest research. You know, I'm researching all the time. Literally, Kirsten Tillich out of California, she said that calm people have different biome than people who are anxious or upset. So people who are calm, think of Richard Branson, think of Kung Fu Panda, have different microbiome than people who are upset. This is powerful. So literally, you can change your microbiome. You can become a nicer, more well-adjusted person. Like, think of that. I think most people work on the outside. They don't work on the inside, but you work on the inside, you become a nicer person to be around, less reactive and calm, like Kung Fu Panda. How do you like that?
I love it. So awesome, buddy. Well, I appreciate this so much, and stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But if you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share this with your friends. Make sure you reach out to Uchi, and I would highly encourage you to follow him on Instagram. And it's pretty cool stuff. Makes your life better all the time. And keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to hear from Ooch and other great speakers. And until we see you guys next time, eat some apples, get some sleep. Keep watching Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.